we present the second episode of Pay Any Price by Ted Albury, which he's adapted from his novel of the same name. With Robert Beatty as Otto Schultz, Susanna Fellows as Debbie Shaw, and Michael J. Shannon as Tony Simmons. Pay Any Price.
Today in Washington, it's a special day, January the 20th. The U.S. Constitution lays down this day as the fixed date when the new president is inaugurated. I'm taking the family and my friend Boyd downtown to watch the ceremony. I was in town this morning and the soldiers were using flamethrowers to melt the ice around the inauguration stand and lighting fires along the mall to try and keep it clear for vehicles. We've got 10 degrees of frost.
Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, uphold any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
34,221,463 Americans voted for the new generation president. And I think those who heard those words knew that they'd got what they wanted. Camelot and a knight in shining armor who spoke poetry, not prose. But for some people, it was a disaster. The mafia were amongst them. Bobby Kennedy was still pursuing them in the committee. One of the mafia bosses he was pursuing was Sam Giancana, one of the mafia capos in Philadelphia.
I respectfully decline to answer under the Fifth Amendment on the grounds that an answer might tend to incriminate
me. Mr. Giancana, do you realize that you have pleaded the Fifth Amendment in response to 31 questions from this committee?
If you say so, Counselor.
Would you tell us, if you have any opposition from anybody, that you dispose of them by having them stuffed in a trunk? Is that what you do, Mr. Giancana?
No attempt was made to hide the fact that the Kennedy brothers had declared war on organized crime. And in the slow war of attrition, there were signs that they were not only winning, but that the syndicates knew it. The mafia leaders and the men they controlled were not intelligent men. Their thinking was always crude and obvious. Violence, murder, money, and sex were their only weapons. And their experience, it seemed to prove that these primitive weapons always worked. Senators, congressmen, judges, lawyers, police chiefs, tycoons, they're all men. Their motivations are much the same as those of the mafia bosses. Power, status, money, and good living. Rich men lusted after yet more money and power, and simpler men who sat on judges' benches rationalize their payoffs as little more than reasonable enhancements of their inadequate pensions. You could easily convince yourself, if you wanted to, that the mafia was only the working boys' version of the Ivy League. There was a feeling, too, amongst the racketeers that the Kennedys themselves were a kind of mafia. They looked after their own, and who had more patronage to dispense than the President of the United States? But one thing they recognized for sure, the Kennedys weren't looking for money. They'd already got more than they needed. Maybe it would have been better for the United States if they had discovered some chink in the Kennedy armor. And now, I'd better tell you about Sweetie Dawson. Sounds like a girl's name, doesn't it? But Sweetie is over 6 feet tall, with wavy blonde hair and freckles. A first-class athlete who had joined the army instead of university. He was sensible rather than intelligent. A second lieutenant on $690 a month. Easygoing and amiable, he had met Debbie Shaw at an army concert in San Diego. He's spent the night with her at a beach hut at La Jolla. And right now he's sitting on the steps as she walks over wearing his bathrobe.
gosh, I'm hungry, sweetie. Where can we get a real good breakfast?
Go into town to Joe's place.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. You're not overstepping your leave, are you?
Debbie, will you see me next weekend, same as this weekend?
Oh, sure I will. I'll be here for another month yet. There's no show next weekend, so you can pick me up on the Friday afternoon at my place about 4, okay?
Well, that's great. Real great.
But on the Thursday afternoon, Debbie had a caller. It was Captain Simmons.
Tony, hello.
Hello, Debbie. I was on my way through to San Francisco. I heard you were here. How are you?
Oh, fine. Come on in. Cheers. Oh, don't look so serious. It's a lovely day and it's great to see you.
Cheers, honey. Debbie, listen. I want you to be Nancy Rawlins. Nancy Rawlins. Close your eyes. Good. Deeper and deeper. Nice and relaxed. 8, 9, 10. Tell me your name.
Nancy Rawlins.
Are you relaxed and comfortable?
Yes.
Tell me about your doctor.
Washington 240-1429. Ask for Joe Spellman.
Will you do something for me, Nancy?
Yes.
I want you to look at a photograph. This one. Do you recognize the man?
Is it Cary Grant?
No, it isn't Cary Grant. You don't need to know his real name, but he is an evil man. Very evil. One of my friends was killed because of this man. I want you to point him out to some friends of mine. Just point at him and say, "That is the man."
Yes.
Tell me what you have to do when you see my friends.
When I see this man, I say, "That is the man."
Very good. Now let me help you pack a case for the journey.
Calimerasis despinis, Rawlins.
I don't understand.
Panayotis Synodinos at your service. Is this your first visit to Athens?
I think so. Where are your friends?
I take you there. I got my car here. Is a temple of Poseidon over there. We go to Sunion and a little bit more.
How far do we have to go?
Not very far. Maybe you want eating first.
No, I ate on the plane.
You're a very pretty girl, you know. How you got in business like this, Miss Rawlins?
I don't answer questions. Just keep driving, please.
You married?
No.
Boyfriend?
No more questions.
You're a very tough lady, I think. So what do we talk about? You like Greek food?
We don't have to talk.
Okay. We're there now. Is in villa up the steps where we go, yes? We meet them there. But we got plenty of time together, yes?
What the hell are you doing? Lay off!
Why, you not want? We got plenty time to making love.
You must be crazy. Who the hell do you think you are?
American girls always like it with Greek men, always.
Just take me to the place, mister. Get moving.
Okay, okay. I introduce you. Is Mr. Theotakis? Miss Rawlins.
Thank you for coming, Miss Rawlins.
That's okay.
You like maybe to bath or rest before you meet the others?
No. They want me to catch the plane back tonight.
Okay. Let me explain. We have a meeting, 12 men. You go in and we sit together at table. Mm. When I ask for your news, if you see the traitor, you point to him.
What traitor?
The man in the photograph, yes?
Yeah, Gentlemen, please.
And now, miss, please, tell me your news.
That is the man. The man in the gray suit.
He's going down the steps. You follow me, nice and quick. You get in back seat, please. Hurry!
Flight 324 to New York is now boarding at gate 4. Flight 324 to New York is now boarding at gate 4.
Oh, hi, sweetie. Why do you look so angry? What's the matter? What's happened?
Maybe you'll tell me what's happened.
Nothing's happened.
Goddamn right. So where were you?
I don't understand.
I came here, like you said, 4 o'clock Friday. I hang around for 2 hours, but the place is empty. I phoned half the night, but there was no answer. I came here 4 times on the Saturday and twice on the Sunday. Nothing. So where you been, little girl?
Well, I haven't been anywhere.
Oh, don't give me that crap, honey. You stood me up. You don't need to lie about it.
I'm not lying, sweetie. I've been here all the time, I swear. Why should I stand you up?
Well, you tell me, honey. Maybe you found yourself a major or a colonel.
Oh, you're out of your mind. Oh, please, come in.
You must be joking. I just wanted to hear what story you'd give me, you two-timing bitch.
Poor young Debbie closed the door and leaned back against it, closing her eyes. She felt a floating sensation, and she could smell mimosa. She walked slowly to her bedroom and lay down on the bed. She slept, still in her clothes, for a night and most of the next day. Just to give you an idea of the feelings of the mafia at that time, I want you to hear an extract from a clandestine recording made by a CIA surveillance team. I'm afraid that a word here and there has to be deleted.
See what Kennedy done? With Kennedy, a guy should take a knife, like one of them other guys, and stab and kill them, right where he is now. Somebody should kill them. I mean it. This is true. But I tell you something. I hope I get a week's notice. I'll kill. Right in the White House. Somebody's got to get rid of this.
I also want you to hear what went on at 2 meetings of mafia bosses in Miami. And that means giving you the background of one of those men. Carlos Marcello, he called himself. It was calculated that Marcello's syndicate in New Orleans contributed $1,000 million a year to mafia funds. He was described by the director of the New Orleans Crime Commission as, and I quote, one of the 2 or 3 most sinister figures in the history of organized crime. On April 4th, 1961, Marcello made a routine visit to the New Orleans Immigration Department. On the personal orders of Bobby Kennedy, he was seized, handcuffed, and rushed to the airport. He was the only passenger on a government jet to Guatemala, deported as an undesirable. He came back to the United States illegally a few months later, and he called the first meeting in a hunting lodge in the grounds of his 3,000-acre estate outside New Orleans. The meeting was with his old friend Trafficante.
You got it the wrong way round, Carlos. First we hit Castro. Then we hit that little son of a bitch in the White House. You want to know why we do it that way, huh?
Tell me.
First is, Fidel has cost us money. Real money. Kennedy's trouble, but not bread. Second is, we got help to hit Castro. Real help. The kind we need.
Like what?
Like the CIA, my friend.
Oh, sure. And the U.S. 5th Cavalry and the Marines?
I'm telling you, it's true. I've talked to them. They're ready to do a deal.
Why should they help us, for God's sake?
They want to knock off Castro just as much as we do. It's official government policy to bring him down. The CIA are putting together all sorts of operations. They're waiting to meet us.
When can we talk with them?
Next week. I fixed a meeting for next weekend starting Friday night at the Fontainebleau. How about it?
It's okay by me. So long as you're sure it's not some trap by those bastards in Washington.
Believe me, these CIA boys feel the same way about those sons of bitches in the White House as we do. We ain't the only ones who are suffering withdrawal symptoms.
Santos Trafficante booked 4 suites and 6 double rooms at the Fontainebleau in Miami. They were all checked for electronic bugs before the meeting started. There was Santos Trafficante himself, another mafia boss John Roselli, Carlos Macello, and an ex-FBI man named Bob Mayhew, who now worked for Howard Hughes, the multimillionaire, and also did little jobs on the side for the CIA.
What kind of M.O. have you guys got in mind?
Any way you want. We can supply a marksman. Somebody who can't be identified with us. Or you.
Who is he?
I can't give his name, but he's known to one of your people.
Well, who is it knows him?
Guy named Rubenstein runs a nightclub in Dallas.
Oh, for God's sake, Bob. He's just a bum. He owes money everywhere.
He's not doing the job, Mr. Marcello. I mentioned him to show that the man we have in mind is known to one of your operators.
Well, who is this guy, the marksman? Tell us something about him.
He's a nutter. He'll do anything we tell him to do.
Your people got some kind of hold on him?
Kind of.
Well, how do we get him over there?
He'll go from Mexico City.
Why there?
The Russians control visas to Cuba. Our guy's got a Russian connection. They'll let him through.
And afterwards?
Maybe there's some other guy you'd like to knock off.
Are we both thinking of the same guy, Bob?
Same name, anyway.
Marcello, you agree? Okay. Roselli? Fine. Okay, Bob, it's a deal. When do we start?
How about next Monday? We'll meet in Chicago at the Holiday Inn at Mark Plaza. When I phone, I'll just give a time. I'll bring along 3, maybe 4 guys. I'll introduce you with cover names, and they'll have cover names too, okay?
And now, I'm afraid, another meeting between Debbie and Simmons.
What happened when you got on the launch?
We went out to a big white boat, up the steps, and the 2 men came with me. They were speaking Chinese. We went down some steps, inside the boat, into a cabin.
What did it look like, the cabin?
Oh, it was big, with white formica paneling.
Why did you do that? Why are you shivering?
When they fought, the blood was all over the white panels. It was like one of those modern paintings, when they just splash paint on the canvas.
You said the key word that I gave you?
Yes, that's what made them fight.
What was the key word?
I can't remember.
Where did all this happen?
I'm not sure. I think it was Hong Kong.
Okay. That's fine, Nancy. Just lie back and relax. Good girl. Now listen carefully. Close your eyes. When you wake up, you won't remember anything about your trip. You won't remember that you even went away. You won't remember anything about the last week. It will all go completely from your mind. When you wake up, you'll forget about Nancy Rawlins. I'll count to 10, and then you'll wake up. 1, 2, 3... Slowly. 4, 5. You're feeling fine. 6, 7. Opening your eyes. Good. Good. 8, 9, 10. Now you're Debbie Shaw. Feeling nice and relaxed.
It's time for me to indulge in a bit of hindsight and tell you about a CIA man named Grabowski. I'd never heard of him, and only discovered what he'd been up to long afterwards. In every intelligence organization, There are sections that are so secret that even their colleagues have never heard of them. Grabowski ran such a team. The men he was responsible for were two doctors, psychiatrists. You've already met one, Captain Simmons. His sidekick was named Peterson. They had a free hand to experiment with drugs, heroin, LSD, anything, on people who were unaware that they were being given drugs. Some were servicemen and some were civilians. All were totally ignorant of what was being done to them. Debbie was one of the victims. All this was serious enough, but when certain people in the CIA started playing footsie with the mafia over Cuba, and then the Kennedys, it became even more bizarre. Grabowski was neither a doctor nor a psychiatrist. He was a tough, ruthless man who controls Simmons and Peterson. He didn't trust them any more than he trusted anybody.
Bring me up to date, Simmons, but I don't want all the medical stuff, just the practicalities.
He's ready, Grabowski. There's been no problems. He'll do whatever we want whenever we tell him to.
What about the backtracking operations?
They'd never unravel it, Ziggy. Not in a million years. We've covered all the Mexican bit, the Cuban embassy, the Soviet embassy. We've tied up New Orleans so that one lot will say he was pro-Castro and the others that he was rabidly anti-Castro. It's like a million-piece jigsaw. And none of it fits.
What about our own cover?
Almost nothing they could discover. Unless some idiot's not destroyed what we've told them to destroy. We've wiped it all out. And fed in some confusion as well. There's nothing to worry about.
Maybe you've covered too well, and that could make them suspicious.
The mafia connection alone would keep any investigators happy for years.
How many of the mob are involved?
Five.
Who are they?
Traficante, Marcello, Hoffa, Roselli, and Giacana.
You satisfied they're secure?
Absolutely. They know what would happen if they even looked like leaking.
Are both of you giving them the final instructions?
No. Just me. Pete has played no part in this particular operation.
How about your man, Peterson?
He's under control, but I haven't activated him yet. We don't need him until the first job's been done.
Okay, Peterson, no need for you to hang on here.
Okay, Ziggy.
He hasn't been told about the real target, huh?
No. It's still Castro, as far as he's concerned. Current target has never been discussed, not even mentioned.
What about you?
What about me?
Is there any way they could connect him with you?
I've never met him in a public place. Except under hypnosis by me, he would neither recognize me nor know me.
What if somebody else hypnotized him?
If they tried, they'd fail. I've given him a solid block against hypnosis by anyone else. I've tested it, and he wouldn't go under. He couldn't without the key word.
Uh-huh. What is the key word?
It's better you don't know, Ziggy. I'm not being cagey, but it's safer this way.
Yeah, okay. So we come back to you, Tony. How secure are you, huh?
You better spell it out, Ziggy.
You'd be the only person who knows the whole scenario. Somebody could think it'd be safer not to have you around.
If anybody thought that and did anything about it, the whole story would be with the media in a matter of hours. The CIA would be sunk without trace inside a month, and a lot of heads would get chopped. I'm not worried, Ziggy.
What if you have an accident or die from natural causes?
Let's just say that it would be embarrassing all around.
Uh-huh. How long does it take to activate your guy?
Say, 15 seconds.
Does it have to be face-to-face?
No. He just has to hear the key.
You'd better move down tomorrow.
Where?
Dallas.
At least it'll be warm.
It'll be warm, all right, in more ways than one.
I'd like to ask you just one question, Ziggy. Would you answer it truthfully?
Maybe, maybe not. Huh? Try me.
How far up the line to Langley does this thing go? Is it official or private enterprise?
You want the truth, I'll tell you the truth. I don't know the answer to your question. Obviously, it isn't official, but it ain't unofficial either. Let's just say that what started as private enterprise in the mob has changed course and had a blind eye turned towards it.
And a helping hand?
Yeah, and a helping hand, several helping hands.
Why, Ziggy?
Why do you think?
Because a lot of people hate him and are scared of what he's doing to their interests.
And whose interests are you thinking of?
The FBI, the CIA, the mob, Castro, the KGB, the John Birchers, and all the other nutters. They all hate his guts. He's a disaster for them.
You told me once that nutters was the word I shouldn't use.
Okay. All the other psychopaths.
How do you define a psychopath, Tony?
You may not like the definition, Ziggy.
Oh, I'm a big boy, Tony.
A psychopath is someone with a defective conscience, with aggressive and irresponsible conduct, and a complete lack of regard for others. They seldom respond to medical treatment. They frequently pretend to regret what they have done. But in fact, they are incapable of regret for their own behavior.
Sounds like you and me, huh?
Self-diagnosis can be dangerous. I don't recommend it for intelligence agents.
The day after tomorrow, the 22nd, Dallas.
In the second episode of Pay Any Price by Ted Albury, you heard Robert Beatty as Otto Schultz, Susanna Fellows as Debbie Shaw, and Michael J. Shannon as Tony Simmons. Sam John Carner was played by Bob Sherman, Robert Kennedy by Jeffrey Collins, Sweetie Dawson by Lou Hirsch, The Two Greek Men by Frank Ellis and Alfredo Michelson, Santos Trafficante by David Graham, Carlos Marcello by Alex Jennings, Robert Mayhew by Nigel Graham, Ziggy Grabowski by Kerry Francis, Peterson by Danny Brainin, Weisberg by Stuart Organ. The serial is directed by Christopher Venning.